Yo.
We're back.
Again.
For episode 4.
Quattro.
Yes. Of Legends and Liquor.
Yep.
Woo.
Correct. We did it again. How dare us.
Oops. I did it again. Sorry.
Okay.
Now that I've killed the mood.
Now that our two listeners are gone.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Now
guys.
We can start. Now it's a party.
So what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking Jim Beam Jacob's Ghost White Whiskey.
Jacob's Ghost. Get it? It has ghost in the name?
Oh, I was like Jacob's Ladder? Like that movie?
No, that movie's not good.
I didn't see it.
It's not good. I don't recommend it.
You see me being a poser just now? Like, I didn't see it. Yeah. I said it like I knew what it was about. Or like the little toy. You know the toy?
Yeah, I remember the toy.
Yeah,
the little thing. I have one of those. Yeah.
Those were fun.
No. We're not drinking Jacob's Ladder. We're drinking Jacob's Ghost. It is a white whiskey, and it's damn okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was, what, $10?
Yeah, $10.
On
so,
sale?
Not terrible. I got it on the sale rack. I saw the name, and I was like, that is for us.
It's 375 milliliters.
Yep. So what do you think about it?
It's fine. I don't think it's much to write home about. I mean, I've had other Jim Beam products.
Like better?
Not even that. Just, like, why bother with going for the clear one? Like, I don't think it's that different.
Yeah.
It is different, but it's not.
It's got a different flavor, though. I mean, it does, and it's not bad. And I think I probably do like it better than normal Jim Beam, or at least the other Jim Beams that I've had. But I still prefer, like, Tullamore Dew or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's better the more you drink it.
That's the point. I mean, it's pretty
potent. It's
yeah,
potent. It definitely smells, too. Like, you could smell it, like, a foot away from the glass.
It
was like,
smells so much worse than it tastes, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And we like whiskey.
Yeah.
It's just, oof.
Yep. Packs a punch. So, yeah. We're back. We're drinking Jim Beam's Ghost. Jacob's Ghost.
From Jim Beam.
From Jim Beam. And what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Some legends.
And some liquor.
We already did the liquor part.
All right, well, let's get into the legends. What all you right. got?
I'm switching it up a bit. Now, I've done some true crime. Let's go with a bit of the paranormal.
Yay! I like paranormal.
Have you heard about the Dab Swamp?
I have not heard about the Dab Swamp.
Let's go ahead and say... Most people haven't, because I did this whole story, I looked it up, did the research, and then I found out about the Dab Swamp mid-research.
Gotcha.
There's not much about it.
Okay.
It is a Laotian.
I think you got it right Laotian. First time.
Okay. Well, I had to screw it up afterwards.
A myth from Laos.
Yes. There's not much about it. Really, the stuff that I found out... about Dab Swamp is that she is a jealous woman who kills Laotian men in their sleep.
Okay.
That's all I got.
And they never explain why she's jealous.
I did not find that.
It's not like an ex-lover or a spurned woman.
I could see that being... I mean, like, that's what I'm thinking. Kind of like a La Llorona... situation.
What is that?
I'll do that episode later.
Okay.
There's actually a movie that just came out. I don't know if it's good or not.
Oh, that one. I don't know what it's about either, but...
It's kind of like what I'm imagining the Dab Swamp to be.
Gotcha.
This story is not about Dab Swamp. It gotcha. Is...
So, let me just ask a couple more questions.
Yeah,
like, do you know if the Dab Swamp is like a ghost woman, or if she's like a demon, or didn't say?
Like I said, I just searched Dab Swamp. And it is literally the sentence I just said, a jealous woman who kills
men in their sleep.
Okay. That is what it said, and then everything else was about the story I'm about to talk about.
Okay, well, hey, if any of our listeners are ever from Laos and you guys got the 411 on the Dab Swamp, how about you, like, you know, send us a message or write us or something and let us know more about her, because I'm intrigued.
I am too. I'm really disappointed. I... really wanted to actually have a bit more content on this story by just shoving in that dab song, like, boom. Yeah. I wasn't even looking for this.
Okay. Well, all right. So that, if that wasn't your story, what is your story?
To get into that, we need to travel back in time, you know. I'll be Doc Brown. You can be Marty McFly. Let's go back to 1975.
Okie dokie.
To Mong Laos. My story is about 18 potential victims to the Dab Swan.
Ooh.
In 1975, Mong Laos, the communist dictator Pathet Lao, forgive me for that pronunciation, was a communist dictator. Now, he was doing mass genocide to non-conformists, I guess would be the...
I don't know.
The opposite of the Red Scare. Non-communists, you gonna get stabbed. Now, Mong is notably anti-communist, so you could see a lot of refugees happening during the mid to late 1970s.
So a lot of people from Mong were fleeing...
Yes.
...to the United States?
Yes, to the United States. Specifically, Minnesota and California.
Those are very different places.
They're not close.
They're not close. They're not alike. But that's where the bulk of them ended up.
Yeah.
Weird.
Like I said, I don't know why that's relevant either, but it's everywhere that I've had researched this story, it's in there. So I'm saying it.
Okay.
These people in Hmong, their religion is animism.
Okay.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
I think so.
I know you know what it is.
A little bit.
I'm going to say the best way I can put it is this is the belief that all things possess a spirit. And you're very, like, in tune with nature.
Yeah.
You know, kind of... I envision, like, that scene in Pocahontas where she speaks to her grandmother.
Oh, who yeah.
Who is also a tree.
I don't think the tree was her grandmother. I think they just call the tree grandmother.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie, and I also didn't like it very much.
I know. Nobody really did. But, no, I'd actually say that that's pretty accurate.
It's got a banging soundtrack, though, doesn't it?
I mean, Colors of the Wind is a damn good song. And... Around the river bend.
It's bad. I pretty much thought that was the same song.
They're different songs.
I think Laos overall, but specifically in Hmong.
Okay.
And all of these, not all, a lot of these refugees, you don't want to, you know, categorize. Stereotyping's bad. It's bad people. A lot of these refugees had a lot of anxiety with the move. It's also noted, not really entirely sure why, but a lot of these refugees only spoke their native tongue. In Hmong, it was a new-ish language. It hadn't been written down until around 10 years prior.
But they didn't, like, just create the language.
No, it had been a spoken language. They just, like, recently wrote it down.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty weird for it being, like, 1970s. This was, like, the main religion in
Laos.
Yeah, so these refugees were pretty secluded because, you know...
Well, I can imagine that'd be really stressful. Like, you don't speak the language, you're in a new country.
You're fleeing because of a dictator who's gonna kill you for not being a communist.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is.
I get it. So you're gonna move to Minnesota.
Lots of stress. I imagine that the refugees in California probably did a little bit better.
You'd like to think that.
I like to think that, because at least they were, like, in beaches and warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm just picturing them all, like, surfing in Southern California, and that's probably not at all accurate, but whatever.
As I said, there's a lot of anxiety with this move. For whatever reason, this anxiety led to a mass hysteria of imaginary illnesses. Specifically venereal diseases and parasites.
Ugh.
Like, I don't know why that's what they decided. Like, my junk hurts. I'm scared. My junk hurts.
And I think I have a parasite.
Oh!
I've got to say, like, of all of the things that you could imagine are wrong with you, those are probably two of the worst.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, a lot of problems with your junk, at least for women, are stress-related.
I could see that.
Yeah, like yeah, yeast infections and stuff like that can be triggered by a lot of stress. So, I don't know. I mean, that could be.
I mean, if something was going on down under, for me personally.
That's pretty stressful.
I would be stressed out.
I'd be stressed out too.
I mean, whether it was cause versus effect here, like, yeah, I'd be stressed out one way or the other.
I mean, I get that part of it. I don't necessarily get the parasites because it's like, you know, unless there's something wiggling around in your poop, you're probably good.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, I remember the one time that Bronx had worms when I first got him when he was a puppy, because he was, like, covered in fleas. So, of course, he had worms.
Well, now he's sneezing. Oh, come on, be healthy.
Poor baby.
Oh, he's fine.
It was so gross. Did you ever see it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because he pooped, and then there were, like, the little white tapeworms just crawling around on his poop. It was so gross. It was so gross. I was like, we are going to the vet fucking today. And getting that shit sorted out.
Literally.
And, yeah, no, literally. I was like, I'm not picking that up. That's fucking disgusting. Went to the vet and they were like, oh yeah, just give him this one pill and he'll be fine like tomorrow. It's remarkably easy to clear up.
Okay, that's good to know.
It is.
Well, these doctors in 1975 should have told, he's given them like a Tic Tac and said, you're fine. Miracle cure. So now that you've got a little bit of the backstory on these refugees.
Yes.
Let's go to the 18 victims of the Dab Swam.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Now, these victims are between the ages of 25 and 44.
That's pretty young. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty young. I feel like under 50 and dying is young.
Yeah, and these are all healthy people.
Physically healthy adults.
Physically healthy. Yeah, it is 1977 at this point for this case. So, you know, mentally.
They were all stressed out and having fake venereal and parasite diseases. So, probably mentally not doing that.
And that's
hot.
Just the rest of the referee. Let's talk about these 18. So, the official cause of death was probable cardiac arrhythmia.
Gotcha.
For all you doctors out there.
That's just like a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
Like arrhythmia, like your heart's not beating when it's supposed to.
But I just like that probable in there.
Probable. Like, shrug. We don't know what killed him. Put that shit on there.
Who's to say?
Exactly.
Now, I'd like to read a quote from one of these victims.
Like the victim, something the victim said before they died.
Yes. Obviously okay. Before he died.
Okay. Just checking.
I can say 17 out of the 18 were men.
Gotcha.
Did I say that before?
Not yet.
I don't think I did. Yeah, 17 out of the 18 were men, which makes sense.
Because it's a jealous woman.
A jealous woman who specifically kills men. This quote from a refugee victim, and he was 33 years old.
Damn.
So right smack dab in the middle. First, I was surprised, but right away, I got real scared. I was lying in bed, a dark shadow in the night. I was so tired because I was working very hard then. I wanted to go to school, but I had no money. I kept waking up because I was thinking so much about my problems. I heard a noise, but when I tried, I could not move. My bedroom looked the same, but I could see in the corner a dark shape was coming for me. It came to me, came to the bed over my feet, my legs. It was very heavy. Like a heavy weight over my whole body, my legs, my chest. My chest was frozen, like I was drowning. I had no air. I tried to yell so someone sleeping very close to me will hear. I tried to move using a force that I can, a strength that I can have. English is not his first language.
Gotcha.
I thought, what if I die? After a long time, it went away. It just left. I got up, all the lights turned on. I was afraid to sleep again. So what does that sound like?
It sounds like, what's that when you wake up and you can't move?
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Which was not a thing back in 1977.
That's crazy.
That sounds exactly like that.
Exactly like sleep paralysis. Which, yeah, like even with like the heavy pressure on the chest and...
Yeah.
Yeah, like seeing a figure, and yeah.
Which I would like to sidebar into the time I had sleep paralysis.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was up super late. I think I was drinking whiskey and watching Barbarella. The only time I've ever seen that movie, and I don't remember what happened in it. It was a great time. Anyway, I remember it was probably around 3 a.m.
Ooh, witching hour.
That is the witching hour. I didn't even think about that.
Fuck.
I was not thinking. I'm not kidding.
God damn.
The stars are aligning here. I'm pretty sure it was around 3 a.m.
Okay.
So I just was laying on my back. And all of a sudden, like, I couldn't move, but I didn't really care. I wasn't really trying to move. I was trying to sleep. And my head just rolled over to the side. It's my right side, so you get a nice visual. You know, picture it with me. Get in bed and turn to your right side. That's where we're at. And I see all of these fireflies. And they're just floating around. I'm like, that's interesting. What was in this whiskey I bought? It was not Jim Beam Ghost, mind you. I think it was like Knob Creek or some shit.
Knob Creek's good shit. I doubt it was Knob
Creek. No, it wasn't Knob Creek. It was Jacob's Creek.
Okay, yeah.
Jacob's Ridge. Jacob's something. Jacob's yep. Ladder. Keep that on. Movie that I haven't seen. It was something. It was not good. So I turned over, I see all these fireflies. I'm like, what the fuck? And then they form into a person wearing like a derby hat. But kind of like picture a
butler. Like the Hat Man.
Yeah.
I literally just listened to an episode about the Hat Man. Like, that's a thing.
Okay. Well, I saw that. Well, that's crazy because I have not heard that episode. In 1977, this was probably sleep paralysis that nobody explained.
Yeah.
At least with that one case.
Which has to be extra terrifying, like, especially if you don't know that sleep paralysis is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh my God, somebody's like coming to get me. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah, no, you're fine. These 18 victims died in their sleep.
That's awful.
The official cause of death was the probable cause. I said that already. Sorry. At the time, it was actually called Oriental Nightmare Death Syndrome.
That's awful.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Today, it's called Sudden Unexpected Death Syndrome or Sudden Arrhythmic Death Syndrome. So, SADS instead of SIDS.
Like sudden infant death syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that...
They went with SADS.
Yeah. I mean, sudden unexpected death syndrome is still, like, the term, but they don't call it SUDS.
That's good.
Which is smart.
I just basically think of, like, the sack of SUDS from My Cousin Vinny.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, my God.
I know.
All right. That's on the list. We're going to watch it. It's such a good movie.
Well, we'll watch Public Enemies.
Okay.
Before that.
No.
Well, the episode came out before.
I know, but you've needed to see My Cousin Vinny for such a long time.
That's fine.
And, like, every lawyer has seen that movie because, duh. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not fine. You're going to watch it. Anyways, okay. Let's keep going.
Oh, that's fine.
What's up?
That's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Where was I?
We're talking about the syndrome SADS versus
I was gonna SIDS. I was gonna say I was thinking of the little mascot for scrubbing bubbles.
Oh yeah, right. Like the little like brush with the bubbles.
Yeah, and then they like he's got like a swarm of them going like.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm glad they didn't call it that.
Yeah.
But yeah, death by dreams. So. Can you take a stab at? Oof-ta. Why we're talking about this? But yeah, so that's crazy. I honestly did not hear that episode. That is what happened. Yeah, so the fireflies turned into like a butler looking dude with a derby hat, and he tries to hand me a cup of tea. But all like you like picture this like a constellation. Like these are just fireflies forming this shape.
That's it's so not, weird.
I know. So I am like hyperventilating. I can't move, but what I can muster enough strength, which doesn't really like. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense with sleep paralysis because I can move a little bit, but it took like every little bit of my strength to. I took my left hand to grab my right arm and raise it up, and then I let go, let gravity do its work. I smacked my own chest with the weight of my arm, and I woke up going, "Huh!" And it was all gone.
That's so weird.
And I was like, "What the fuck just happened to me?" And I went to bed.
You need to look up the Hat Man.
I do.
Now and see, like...
Because I'm serious. Like, that entirely... I did not see a shadow figure in the side of the room, which is what that guy said, the 33-year-old refugee, yeah. Which is very common in sleep paralysis.
Yeah, shadow figure coming at you.
Yeah.
Definitely common. I am lucky. Like, I've never experienced sleep paralysis before, at least not that I can remember. So if I did, it was probably so fucking horrible that I blocked it from my memory.
And I did come close the other night. Ugh. No, I am very certain that if I had kept my eyes open, I would have seen some shit. This was probably like 2 weeks ago.
Ugh. Is that when I saw the thing in my sleep too?
No, that was not then.
Okay.
We talk about that on your segment. Yeah. Put a pin in that. We'll get there.
Fuck all. I don't have sleep paralysis, but I have fucked up nightmares, and then I see shit in the dark, so.
I know, and then you don't tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway. Stabby, stab, stab.
Stabby, stab, stab, stab. No, not Slender Man. Probably, is it a movie?
It is a movie.
Where people die in their sleep.
Okay, I think you've connected the dots here. Go ahead and say it. I'll
give you... Wes Craven.
Now you're just being a smartass. Go ahead.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Nightmare on Elm Street. Freddy Krueger is not supposed to be the Dabswom, but sort of.
Well, yeah.
Wes Craven saw this.
Saw the story about these.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
About the 18 Laotian immigrants.
Who died in their sleep.
Yeah.
From nightmares.
Let's make a movie about it. That is not the only case that that movie is based on.
It's not?
It's not.
What else?
There is a 12-year-old boy who was a survivor of a mass killing in Cambodia.
Oh,
around God. The same time.
Oh, God.
These are also immigrants.
Damn.
Now, this is not a mass hysteria. This is one 12-year-old boy who, when they came to America, his parents would go into his room and he would just be freaking the fuck out. Which I know I did a lot as a kid. Like, I
know that. Like, go into his room at night when he should be sleeping and
he... And he's just freaking the fuck out. Yeah. I did that a lot.
Yeah.
I was not 12. I was probably, like, 4.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you could ask my dad.
Oh, man, I had nightlights out the yin-yang, so.
Oh, you could ask my dad. He would have to keep my door open, stand in the hallway, read his book in the light until I fell asleep.
Damn.
And he would slowly creep out to the living room, and I would go, "Dad, I can't see you." Until I'm not kidding. He still makes fun of me.
Your poor dad. For that.
Yeah, I did that. Like, it went down to, you remember that movie Inspector Gadget?
Yes.
Yeah, remember the evil Inspector Gadget in that movie?
Nope.
There was the evil version of the Inspector. I was terrified of him.
Oh, wow.
And Jim Carrey's The Grinch. Those were, like, the two things I was the most afraid of.
Jim Carrey's The Grinch isn't even supposed to be it's scary. It's not,
but it freaked the fuck out of me as a child.
You were such a strange kid.
I was, wasn't I?
Yeah.
But I watched Halloween.
And that didn't give you nightmares.
It didn't. I watched
it
around...
But The Grinch gave you nightmares.
Yeah.
You're a weirdo.
He hated Christmas. And I hated him for it. But, yeah, okay, so the end of the 12-year-old Cambodian boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died in his sleep.
From nightmares.
From nightmares.
That's crazy.
So the two stories, Wes Craven was like, let's make a movie about this shit.
That seems like such a bad way to go.
Okay, wait, so you mean to die?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was about to say, I think Wes Craven's doing fine.
No, I meant to die, like to almost literally be scared to death.
That is what it is. Yes. That's what I'm convinced it is. Because with it being sudden unexpected death syndrome,
yeah.
You can scare yourself to death.
Yeah.
You totally can. Like, that's what a lot of like the skydivers who their parachutes don't open up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't die due to impact. They die due to heart failure before they hit the ground.
Wow. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's totally a thing.
Like, as in they would have survived the impact? Or
no, no, no. I mean, there are a lot of them that do survive impacts. Those are stories. And some of them are just fine. I don't know how, like, I'm not a skydiver.
If this is such a common thing, why do people keep doing it?
I don't
never sign me up for that. I do not want to fucking jump out of a plane and sky. Nope, 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 nope.
I actually really want to do it.
We can do one of those indoor ones where you're, like, if the fan cuts off, you only fall 6 feet and
I
not
also
to your
want
death.
To do that. I do want to skydive.
All right. You can do that without me.
That's fine. Will you go with me?
No.
No, I mean like to the place.
I will be on the ground.
That's fine, but when you go to the place with
them. I guess.
Okay. I do want to do it.
Only if you don't try and make me fucking do it with you.
No, of course not.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a pretty cool story.
Yeah. I was really shocked that, like, I was just, Googling something that was not a true crime.
Yeah.
To, you know, spice it up a little bit. I saw Wes Craven, and that is one of my favorite horror movie franchises. And out of all of the movies Wes Craven has made, I did not expect that A Nightmare on Elm Street was based on a true story.
Yeah, really.
And the fact that it is based on two separate stories.
Yeah, that's
but
crazy.
That are basically...
I just can't believe 18 people. Wait, how, like, did they all die at the same time, or...
Not, like, the same day, same hour and everything, but it was about a week.
That's crazy.
They all just...
18 people died within a week of each other from nightmares.
Oh, and I do want to add, if you want to...
Okay, wait, though. Were they the ones in Minnesota or in California?
Let's go with Minnesota. Because we don't want to touch California.
All right.
I just threw you off the scent. We're not in California. But there is a book that I really want to read about this.
Okay.
By Bruce Blyatt-Cut? Go with that. It's called Hmong Sudden Unexpected Nocturnal Death Syndrome, A Cultural Study. It is just bizarre. I'm convinced it is sleep paralysis, and like, they are just freaking... Like, and nobody is there at this time to validate that it's just sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Because when I... Because like I said, I've had it twice now.
Yeah.
And the first time I didn't know what it was, and I freaked the fuck out. The second time I had it, I knew to close my eyes and just write it out. Don't open them again. You're going to see some shit you don't want to see. And those were the thoughts going through my head. I bet you if those 18, I guess 19, the 18 immigrants and the one Cambodian were in the year of our Lord 2019, might have had a different...
Probably. I mean, honestly, if they'd even just had some therapy, because, like, chronic nightmares are definitely a symptom of, like, extreme stress and probably depression. So it's like, I'm sure that all of those people had some issues.
Those refugees.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Like, they were
clearly...
Yeah, they
had a lot of stress.
Yeah, going through a lot and just didn't have any kind of outlet for it, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
But yeah, switching gears. You know, let's, hopefully we have a lighthearted myth. What do you got?
Well, I got a god for you.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard of...
Wait, give me a...
His name means black god.
Give me two hints.
He's a Polish god.
Give me three hints.
You're not gonna get it.
Give me four hints.
I don't have any more hints. There's not a lot known about it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Have you heard of Chernobog?
You mean Chernobog?
Nah. It sounds like Chernobyl, but it's not. It's Chernobog.
Okay, so you mean like the Persona?
Yes.
In Shin Megami Tensei?
Yes.
Persona series?
Absolutely.
It kind of looks like a mushroom.
Yeah.
With a rapier.
Yes. That's okay. Chernobog. Based off of the Polish / Russian / Slavic deity, Chernobog.
Oh, Dozo Bajinya Pujni.
Dozo Bajinya Pujni. Yeah, so Chernobog... comes from the Proto-Slavic Chernu, which means black, and Bogu, which means god. Chernobog.
Okay, so you're doing a black god, and we're drinking a white ghost.
Ha ha ha. Duality.
Like, you're the yin to my yang.
Yeah, Chernobog. Honestly, there's just not a lot known about him, so this is probably going to be a short episode. Finally.
Yeah, I know. Our two listeners are like, thank god.
But I've always found Chernobog really interesting, and yeah, probably the whole reason I wanted to do him is because I watched you play Shin Megami Tensei, and whenever Chernobog comes on the screen, I like to yell, Chernobog!
And then the protagonist always yells, Chernobog! And I'm like, I don't know what it's supposed to be, so I'm fine with that pronunciation.
I don't know, maybe it is Chernobog, but I...
It doesn't sound right.
I pronounce it Chernobog, because that's what it looks like. Chernobog... is a Slavic deity, right? His name means black god, and there's really not a whole lot known about him because There aren't a lot of historical sources about Slavic deities in general. So
much like Hmong deities.
Yeah.
Or was Dabtswam?
Well, because
deity?
They
we don't know.
They never really wrote down their there aren't any primary sources, right? So there are no like first-hand accounts of any of the Slavic deities. So the first mention of Chernobog is actually in a 12th century Christian chronicle called the Chronica Slavorum, which was written by a German priest.
The Chronicle Slavorum, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
No, it's the Chronica Slavorum, written by the German priest scribe Helmold, and it, you know, in this chronicle, he describes the customs and beliefs of the Wendish and Polabian tribes, which is like modern day Poland, basically.
Okay.
Of course, this is all written in Latin, and I'll read you an excerpt from it. I just want to really quickly mention that, like, one of the only other historical sources for Chernobog is a 10th century Icelandic legend, the Nidlinga Saga, which also describes him as a dark, accursed deity. So basically, Chernobog's kind of made out to be a bit of a bad guy.
Kind of like a demon?
Not a demon, more like... So Chernobog is the black god, but mm-hmm. it also in Slavic, in the Slavic pantheon, is Belobog, who is the white god. So there's kind of this, like, these two dual gods who are, like, the opposite sides of the coin. And while the Slavic religion was definitely polytheistic, as in it had, like, a large pantheon of gods, there were definitely these two gods who were kind of two primary gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was kind of generally believed that everything that was good came from Belobog, and everything that was bad came from Chernobog.
Okay. And, like, just the sounding of those two names? Like, if you said Belobog and Chernobog, I would have been like, Belobog's a good one.
Yeah.
Kind of like, is it Belinda the Good Witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, and then Chernobog, Chesomething, the Wicked Witch of the West. I don't know the Wizard of Oz that well.
But anyways, so, although I will say, and a lot of the scholars kind of say the same thing, is that, like, because the Slavic religion was pantheistic, and then you've got these two very, like, dualistic gods, and the chronicles, and the one source that we have about them is written by a Christian priest, that there might be some, like, I don't know, interpretation going on by the Christians, or, like, some, like, putting upon, like, the dualistic, like, we've got God and Satan and Christianity in.
Yes. Just like The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe by yeah. C.S. Lewis.
Sure.
But no, seriously.
It's Chronic Chronicles of Narnia.
I was waiting for you to do that.
Baker's Dozen! So, but no, like, so they think that that could have been some really heavy interpretation on the part of the authors, right? Instead of that actually being, like, a dualism being a predominant theme in the Slavic religion, they think it might have just been, like, something that the Christians read into it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, really, yeah.
And supposedly, Belobog and Chernobog are kind of in eternal conflict.
Like, and Zeus and Hades, to make it, like, not...
Yeah. I mean, you see often, like, a good god and a bad god. That's a pretty frequent thing, even in polytheistic religions.
Yeah.
So, it's not, like, unheard of. But it might have been blown a little bit more out of proportion than,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really was.
I gotcha.
So, who's to say if Chernobog was really, like, only the god of, like, evil or bad shit, you know? And he could have been an underworld god or, you know, who knows what. There's just really not a lot known about him at all.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, there were definitely some mentions that he was, like, an underworld god, but people like to have somebody to blame for stuff, too. So maybe he is just the god of, like, bad shit happening to them. I don't know.
Yeah.
So let me keep going. So I'll read you this part from... It's a translation from the Chronica Slavorum. All right, so here we go. The Slavs, too, have a strange conviction. At their feasts and carousals, they pass about a libation bowl over which they utter words. I should not say of consecration, but of execration in the name of the gods. Of the good one as well as the bad one. They profess that all propitious fortune is arranged by the good god, and all adverse by the bad god. Hence, also in their language, they call the bad god Diabol, or Chernobog, that is, the black god. So, and Diabol is also, like, from the Latin, Diabol for, like, devil.
Hmm.
And, like, a little bit more background on, Helmold of Basso. He was, the German priest who wrote that. He was born in Lower Saxony around 1120 CE. He became a priest in 1156, after which he was asked to write the Chronica Slavorum, the history of, you know, the conversion of the Slavic people. And apparently, Helmold was rather critical of the Holy Roman Empire's actions against the Wends, which was another name for the Polish Slavs. And he described the Wendish Crusades of 1147 and their leader, Duke Henry the Lion, as interested in only money and violence. And said scholars generally see the Chronica Slavorum as being of questionable historical value where it predates Helmold, but fairly reliable where he is writing about contemporary events. And back to this translation that I just read you. So basically he's describing like where the people would take a bowl around and then they would literally like curse into it. Yeah.
An empty bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
And curse into it in the name of, like, the bad god.
Oh, that's, like, what I do when I can't get stains out of our Tupperware. Okay.
So, like, they... And it might have even been, like, they say good things into the bowl for the good god and then, like, swear into it.
Well, that's what I say to our nice dishes.
You're such good boys.
I know. Like, thank you for being so clean. And those Tupperwares. And you know the ones I'm talking about. Fuck you. Why are you orange?
Oh, yeah, here's a fun fact. So, in some South Slavic vernaculars, there exists the phrase Dozia Boga, meaning to the evil god or to the evil of god, used as an attribute to express something which is exceedingly negative. So, they still kind of use that.
Oh, so like when I have to work on Saturdays.
Yeah, Dozia Boga.
Dozia Boga.
Ah.
I'm going to start saying that.
Totally.
Dozia Boga.
Dozia Boga. Yeah, so that's literally about all that's known about Chernobog.
Wow.
I did have a couple more notes about Bellabog. Just that he's usually presented as a venerable old man with a flowing white beard, dressed in white clothes, roams around the countryside during the day, doing works of kindness, curing sick animals, finding lost items, ensuring good crops, and is definitely one of the oldest Slavic deities, which Chernobog is also as well. Like, he's also one of the oldest Slavic deities.
So Bellabog is kind of like year-round Santa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, he is. And then Chernobog, I did see one myth that said that it was a creation myth. It said Chernobog and Bellabog created the earth together, and that was their quote-unquote perfect creation. However, during their creation process, the two gods clashed with each other, and therefore they caused the world to look as it does today.
That is an interesting take. I like that a lot. Like, the good and the bad created the same.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the Christian perspective of, like, the good created...
Everything.
And then the bad corrupted it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That reminds me of something else that I read that was, like, Chernobog is not secondary to Bellabog.
Mm.
Like, he's very much, like, they're equals.
Right.
Right. So one is not above the other. It's not, yeah, you can't, like, you have to not put it through, filter it through the Christian lens or perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that that's a really good point. You know, Chernobog may or may not have been an underworld god, not just, like, a god of evil, and that Chernobog is also, like, the equal of Bellabog. And right. Then I thought that creation myth was really interesting as well.
Well, I think that's also interesting to note. I mean, I was kind of joking before about, like, Zeus and Hades, but even in that light, Hades was always underneath because he was, like, damned to the underworld.
Right.
Like, that was his curse to rule that.
Yeah.
And then Zeus was, while there are a ton of gods, he was always, like...
The top.
Top dog.
Top dog, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that there is a you don't want to say secular, because that's assuming that...
It's not secular. Well, but it's a different religion.
That a religion doesn't have, like, one as the all-powerful. It's, like,
right,
duality. Like, that's really interesting to me. I haven't seen a ton of that.
What another myth that I saw, so this is also interesting, was that there was one all-powerful god called Rod, and he came down to Earth, and he created the Earth, and then in the process of creation, he created both Bellabog and Chernabog.
Hmm.
And the other deities as well. Like, he created the gods, and right, they were just two of the gods that he created. So they gotcha. Were still, like, they're still equals.
Okay, because I was going to, like, kind of date that back to, like, Egyptian mythology.
Yeah.
Where there's always the top god, and then there's the rest of them that are pretty much on equal playing field. So that's a bit more...
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot more interesting to say, like, Bellabog and Chernabog
created the world together.
We're like the first two they created.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know either.
But like do those two myths conflict with each other? Like the...
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, who's to say one's better than the other? Because...
Well,
you
know, I will say which one's better because I think it's more interesting. But
even, you know, you could have gotten one from one region and then another myth from another region. I guess instead of saying better, I should have said authentic.
Right.
Like, are they both valid creation myths from the Slavic region?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, assuming my sources are okay.
Right.
Which, I'm not gonna lie, some of my sources look pretty sketchy because there's just not a lot of information out there about Chernabog at all.
I told you about Dob Swam.
I know.
The first thing I clicked on was a whole link for a sentence.
You got one sentence.
And I was like, okay. Yeah, that. But, and there was, like, little tabs for other stuff, and that were empty.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, I know what it is.
Sometimes you just can't find a lot, especially on these, like, obscure myths from other countries.
Which is why you're listening.
Exactly. So, anyways, all right, now to popular fiction mentions.
So, I spoiled Persona.
Uh-huh.
But, that being said, you asked me what Chernabog was, and that was the only thing I could come up with.
Yeah, he's from, appears in the JRPG series Shin Megami Tensei and Persona, the spinoff of Shin Megami Tensei, as a summonable monster, really frequently.
Play 5, it's the easiest to get into.
Chernobog! Yeah, love Chernobog. So, probably the most well-known reference that people are gonna get,
mm-hmm,
although they probably don't know that this is Chernobog,
mm-hmm,
is from Disney's Fantasia.
What?
So the sequence...
Wait. Is it the little mushrooms dancing around?
No.
Okay. That's all I got.
No.
I'm just thinking mushroom.
Not at all.
You know what I'm talking about, right? They kind of look like little penises, don't they?
Yeah.
They look like little penises.
Your mind went there. No, not that part of Fantasia. So the very end of Fantasia, the sequence from A Night on Bald Mountain by Modest Mussorgsky, where the guy's on the mountaintop and he's like, dah, dah. Dun, 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 you know, with the wings, and he's, like, unfurling them as the song goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the giant demon guy on the mountain is Chernabog.
Oh, he's the dun-dun-dun guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love A Night on Bald Mountain. Like, I love that song. And that was always one of my favorite sequences from Fantasia, because I'm a weirdo.
I think that's actually one of the scenes that they did in Fantasmic. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
That is, it's really cool if you go to Disney.
Oh, wait, I think I have seen that.
Where they do...
Is it 3D?
No. Okay, this is really cool, then, if you don't know what Fantasmic is.
I think I have seen it, but...
It's like a light, and, like, there's live action involved.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like a little parade around this waterfront. And for part of it, they, it's like a sprinkler, but it's like a sheet of water they've got going
yeah.
on. And they project onto the water.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
And they play scenes of Fantasia.
Is that at MGM? Is that where they do that?
Either MGM or Because
it's like
Magic
the big
Kingdom.
Water thing and they do the fireworks at night show. Yeah.
It's either MGM or Magic Kingdom. I almost want to say it's Magic Kingdom.
I can't remember.
But yeah, because they've got like the little floats where the your favorite characters, and they show scenes.
Yep.
I think they do that scene.
I love that scene.
And then they do, like, live-action Maleficent coming out on the boat. I think that, yeah.
I love that scene. So, yeah, Chernabog is, like, I mean, that's a really iconic scene. Like, everybody remembers, like, A Night on a Bald Mountain and the big demon guy on top of the mountain.
Or you could be like me and just remember the little tiny penis mushrooms.
Or, yeah, be like Doug. But for the rest of us, So, yeah, and apparently, so Chernabog is who that character was based off of. And apparently Disney called him Satan himself, although that's probably a little harsh, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah. That's putting Chernabog in a box.
Yeah.
A Chernabox.
Exactly. But I will post, I found a picture of, like, the character sketches for Chernabog, and I'll post that when we put this episode out.
Yeah, yeah.
On our Instagram and stuff, so you guys can see it. It's pretty cool looking. Okay, so other mentions, the video game Smite. He's a playable character under the Hunter class. I think that's a free-to-play game.
Should check that out.
Yeah.
I can afford that.
So in the Heirs of Alexandria series, he's an antagonist character.
What is that? Is that a book?
I don't know. I think it's a TV series.
Oh, okay.
In the 1997 first-person shooter Blood, Chernabog is the primary antagonist who controls the cult known as the Cabal.
That sounds really cool and probably cheap now.
Probably is made in 97.
I might need to get on that.
Check that out. Then a fantasy novel by Naomi Novik called Spinning Silver, which came out in 2018. He's mentioned in that book, and that was inspired by Eastern European mythology. So I saw that and I was like, ooh, I want to read that book. And sounds interesting. It does sound interesting. Apparently, like, the main character can, like, spin something into silver.
So, kind of like Rumpelstiltskin?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, like, definitely like based gold. off of Rumpelstiltskin, but Chernabog's mentioned in it because it's inspired by Eastern European mythology.
Gotcha.
And then last but not least.
Wait, let me guess.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time.
No. Aww. American Gods. Rumpelstiltskin is in, Once Upon a Time.
My dad loves that show. Don't get it.
I don't understand why your dad loves that show, but I like that show. But anyways.
And you've met my dad. I don't get why he likes that show.
But back to the reference that he's actually in.
American
Gods.
We started that.
Yes, we did. That's why I thought you'd be more excited when I said it.
No, I am excited.
Instead of talking about a different show that he's not in.
Well, I had that thought.
Okay.
Like.
No, he's not in
that. Well, he could have been.
But he's not. He's in American Gods.
Okay.
Which I think is probably a better show, although we're...
I would say that, yeah. I've only seen, like, two episodes of each.
Right. And... I've watched a lot of Once Upon a Time, and we've only watched, like, three or four episodes of American Gods.
I think we're on four.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's weird.
Yes.
It's not what I expected. And American Gods, you know, is originally a book by Neil Gaiman, but... It's also a Starz TV show now, based on the American Gods book. And Chernabog is played by actor Peter Stormare, who I think he's Swedish. I love that actor, FYI.
He's been in some stuff that I haven't seen.
Always plays these, like, really fucking weird characters. And I appreciate that about him so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much weirder than Chernabog.
Yeah, Chernabog's a pretty weird character. So, and I think, like, the depiction of him in American Gods, which we just saw.
Yeah, we just saw him.
Literally, just saw him in American Gods. And they made the Zordias his sisters, which I thought was interesting. Because I didn't actually see any reference to them being his sisters in my research.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also Slavic goddesses. So, I guess just kind of assuming that most of the Slavic pantheon is related... Which most pantheons are related, like, most gods are related. And
that makes sense to, like, put it in a, like, a nice container. Yeah,
in the show, makes a lot of sense. Like, here, we're not just going to have, like, all the Slavic gods running around separately. Let's put them together. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. But his character in American Gods works at a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, the chain smoker wants to kill the main character.
And loves killing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just like, there's an art to it. Blah, blah, blah. But he's an interesting character. I mean, dark. Definitely dark, but...
Yeah, he's one of the more notable ones out of that show.
Yeah.
The tone is so weird.
It is.
I don't get it. It always... Like, it doesn't always, but... I can't say always. We haven't finished it. But, like, the first two episodes, they start off with, like Vikings in one episode. And then, like, African slaves in the next. And then it's just like, bam, modern time. Like, what?
Well, they're coming to America stories. So it's like how each god came to America, which is going to be by their followers.
But then what was that one about Anubis? Like, that was weird.
Yeah, because
that wasn't...
The Egyptian immigrants brought Anubis to America.
But that one wasn't back in time, was it?
I mean, no, it wasn't, but she was talking about, like, her grandmother taught her that, and he was like, yeah, and she came to America, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is interesting. It's different.
It's good. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, it's the tone shifts drastically throughout the show. Like, it goes from very dark to very quirky and fucking weird and, like, trying to be lighthearted, but it's not...
Sometimes
it is. It like can get there. The very first episode where that Viking gets shot full of arrows, like a thousand arrows, just brrr, like pincushion him. That was kind of funny, but also really dark. Like
even because like when right after that, there's like an axe, and then the dude's head chops off, and then there's just blood gushing everywhere. It's like what?
Yeah, because it's like even when it's trying to be funny, it's still really dark.
Yeah, people die.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's about all I got for you on Chernabog.
Yeah.
Chernabog.
That was...
I will always say his name like that. Oh, fun fact, I guess, I don't know if this is fun or not, but Chernobyl, they actually say, like, one of, it's like Black Forest.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and that they think that they gave it a really shitty name and that it's, like, a really dark name, like, related to an evil god. And okay. So that's why all the bad shit happened to Chernobyl. I think that's all we got for you this week, guys.
Yeah.
So, and girls. Not meaning to be sexist.
And, in-betweens.
Yeah.
You know.
And whoever. We welcome everybody. Yeah. And theys. He, she's, theys, we's, whatever.
Yeah. Insert pronoun here.
Yeah. So... definitely feel free to send us comments, questions, recommendations at legendsandliquor@gmail.com.
And that is story recommendations and...
liquor recommendations.
Anything you got.
Anything you want to say to us, feel free to send it there.
Format changes, whatever you want.
You can also message us on Twitter and Instagram.
And Facebook.
All of those are @legends_liquor. And, on anchor.com. So Anchor FM, that's where we host our podcast through. So if you follow our links on any of our sites, our social media sites, and go to our Anchor site, you can actually even leave us nifty voicemails, voice messages. And
yeah, which I didn't know about until like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, so you can totally record a voice message for us and we can play it on the show and then kind of talk back to you.
Yeah.
So definitely feel free to do that. That'd be awesome. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, and definitely say if you don't want it on the show, like we can.
Yeah, we don't have to put it in the show, but
we can listen to it and then acknowledge it on the show.
Right.
Or even not.
But we can also put it in the show, which I think is extra cool if you want that to happen.
I would want that.
I think that would be awesome. Yeah. So if you've got like a recommendation or you just want to shout out or say hey, feel free to leave us a voice message. And what else? You can also donate through our Anchor page.
Yeah.
So donations are available. You can make a one-time donation or a monthly donation.
And they are appreciated. We really would like to get some new recording equipment.
Definitely. That would be the first thing we'll purchase will be some mics and nicer recording equipment so that we can make this sound better for you guys.
Yeah, and consistent. I'm pretty sure the audio levels are...
really bad. Bullshit. Yeah. So, we could definitely use some help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you know, just give us 5-star ratings. Tell your friends about us.
Tell them to give us 5-star ratings. Tell them to tell their friends. It's a pyramid scheme.
Exactly. Gotta love a good pyramid scheme.
I do.
as long as you're at the top, right?
Exactly. And you could be at the top as long as you get 5 more people to like and subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah. So... long story short, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us if you want to. Donate if you want to. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Bye.